Good morning, everybody.
I work real hard not to work at all. It's been 6 years since I've had a job, and I hope that by the time this thing is over, you will all learn to be lazy and to enjoy it. Now, what you're going to learn here is more than direct mail, and it's more than making money. It's a lifestyle. And of all the experts and the people who are actually involved in this, you're going to discover that all of us, while money is important, once you start making money, money becomes very unimportant, and your lifestyle, your health, your relationships, and the things that you can do become the most important things. And that's why you'll discover that we all tend to make a lot of money and then take off 6 months and spend a lot of money and then work real hard for 3 months and make more money and take off 6 months and spend that money. And that's the one reason that I'm having this seminar, is because Karen and I decided that was fun, but what we really wanted to do was to make more money more often so that we could spend it more often. And I really couldn't afford to go see Gary and pay $15,000 for an hour's worth of consultation, or Ted Nicholas for $15,000, or several other people. So I said, let's get them all to come to Hot Springs. Now, how can I get them all here for a week? And I said, I know, we'll have a seminar. We'll bring them all here. We'll have these people that charge $15,000 an hour to speak to us for a week, and we'll invite a lot of people. And that's what this has turned out to be. We're going to go over our agenda first, and I want to let you know a little bit about this room. This room looks full. And the reason it does is because it is full. We sold our seminar out within 2 weeks, and we had a lot of additional people, and most of those are experts. Once people in this room found out that Gary Halbert was going to be here and Ted Nicholas was going to be here and a lot of other people were going to be here, other people in the industry, some very creative and talented people also came. And I'm just going to read you the names off the list. You're going to meet these people throughout this seminar. There are a lot of people who aren't on this list who are also experts in their field. One of the things that you can do to get the most out of this 4-day event is to meet new people. Do not stay with people that you know. Go to lunch, go to dinner, go sit in the hot tub. Go places with people you don't know and you'll discover resources. 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago, I had the very, very fortunate experience to be invited to a Gary Halbert seminar. And when I went, we did have an interesting business. And Gary gave me one piece of advice. And that one piece of advice was, Bill, you're selling your product too cheap. I was selling a newsletter for $19.95 a year. Now our newsletter is $185 a year. We have the same number of subscribers. Now, if you multiply that in your head, that's the equivalent, if you had 1,000 subscribers, that's the equivalent of now having 10,000 subscribers at the same price. And it's just little pieces of information like that are going to really make a difference. In front of you all have a yellow legal pad. On mine, I've written on the first page principles. These are just basic principles that some of the speakers use and follow. Gary Halbert's most famous, or the ones that we always follow, is find out what people want and give it to them. I would write that down as your number one principle. Find out what people want and give it to them. Now that means that some of you in here are going to have to make a tough decision, because you probably are trying to sell something that people don't want. And your decision is probably going to be, do you want to spend the rest of your life trying to convince people to buy something they really don't want, or do you want to make money in direct mail? If you want to make money in direct mail, you're going to have to find out what people want and give it to them. On my second page, I wrote ideas. And every single speaker and every single person you talk today is going to say things that may stimulate your mind ideas for projects. Everybody who's in direct mail, no matter what we're doing today, we're thinking about our next project. And we're looking for that ultimate project, something that we can send out 10,000 letters and generate $30,000. We just did that 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to show you how to do it. But those are the ideas you're looking for, ideas. And regardless of how outlandish it may sound, those are the things you're going to listen for. This is a Class 2 Kevlar bulletproof vest. Do you think you could sell these during direct mail right now, say, in Los Angeles? This will stop at 357 Magnum. It's directly from the state police and FBI. And I had a source call me. He said he had 200 of them, wanted to know if I wanted to sell them. And I said, send me all of them. Unfortunately, before he got them to me, the riots broke out in L.A. He sold them all but one. And we're looking for some more. But this is an idea. And right now, especially in the minds of those of you who live in large cities, probably the most important thing in your mind is security. When you get out of your car at night, you probably look around. You maybe look around a little bit more than you normally would. That is a huge trend in this country and is not going to stop with L.A. Our society is changing, and in your box, those of you who open your box, you've discovered that there are some books in there called demographics. I would suggest that you start looking at demographics. It's going to change the way that you market things. Our society is broken up into, it used to be
three or four or five levels of group. You had the very rich, the almost rich, the upper middle class, the lower middle class, the people who weren't really middle class yet, and then at the very, very bottom, a very small group of people in poverty. Now we have a country that the bottom 50%, which is the fastest growing of a segment of society, is in poverty. And then you have another group of people, who are struggling to stay middle class, and then you have a small and getting smaller group of people who do have money. And what we do, and what I hope you'll do by the end of this 4-day seminar, is learn to target the people who've got money. I mean, if you want to sell something, the people have to have an ability to buy. And there are a lot of things you can do that are fun, but it's more fun to make money first. I mean, I'm going to use an example here. I have a friend who made a videotape for young black males how to get jobs. And I think it was a real good thing for him to do. The problem is he wanted to sell it. He called me and said, how can I sell this? And I said, your problem is young black males in ghettos who need jobs don't have Visa MasterCards. And they're not going to be able to order this tape. And I suggested him donate it to libraries. And that's what you have to think about, is that when you develop a product, who's your market? Can they afford to buy? And we're going to go over this next 4 days. You're going to have a checklist that you're going to fill out before you even spend a dime coming up with a product. And right now I'm going to read this list, and I'm going to go through the box, and then we're going to get started. By the way, this is a real casual event. And I want the one thing that we had a meeting of all the people who will be speaking, and the one thing that we all want you to accomplish more than anything else is to learn to think. I want you to, before you spend any money at all, I want you to learn to think. The most successful people I know in direct mail are people who started with no money. Because without money, they had to think. And the people who fail the most often are people who have large bank accounts. Because rather than thinking, they can just spend money. I mean, it's a lot easier to spend money than to sit down and think about a project. Okay, I'm just going to list you a few of the names, and this is in alphabetical order so that people won't get upset if their name's not listed first. But Karen Anderson, she is a list broker, and she does endorsement mailings with Gary North. Karen, would you raise your hand, please? That's Karen in the back. Karen has got light green with stripes on, which is going to look great on video today. We have Dave Vankoff. This is Video Dave. He writes the Video Dave newsletter. He is a video producer, out of Wisconsin. It's Dave Vankoff here. Ron Beeman's our video producer back here. Ron is a Hollywood transplant who lives dealing with printers. The printer can be your best friend. And I'm going to say something that Wayne probably already knows, but many times when we have a project and we need to get 5,000 or 10,000 letters printed and we really don't want to spend money, we spend Wayne's money. We say, Wayne, we need 10,000 letters. And he goes, okay, and he prints it, and it's 30 days before he bills us. And in most cases, we've got those letters mailed and the money back from our response before the bill comes due. If you work a good relationship with your printer, they don't mind that at all because they know you're good for it. But you don't want to screw a printer because they print things. And they can print a lot of things quick. We have the world-famous John Carlton in the back. John is a veteran of the L.A. riots. John, stand up. John's got a coat on. I mean, you guys got to see this. John Carlton. John is a copywriter. John, didn't you just finish your first book on fiction? Right. I want to see this. That'll be a good book. We have David Deutsch. David, please stand up. David's a copywriter, author. He just finished an excellent book. You see David in the back? And David also has a complete marketing service. Loretta Duffy. Where's Loretta? Loretta is sitting in the back. Loretta is another West Coaster. She's an excellent copywriter. Loretta also can write books for you if you give her plenty of time. John Eager is here. John Eager is with the National Response Corporation. John's an expert on a lot of things, but to me he's an expert on two-step marketing, nationwide classified ad network, 900 numbers, consumer psychology, and consumer psychographics, something like that. Carl Galletti. Carl, would you stand up, please? Carl's over here. Carl is a copywriter, a cataloger. He has a catalog of some of the most well-respected books in marketing. There are a lot of books that you can't get any more about marketing. Some of the best books were written 50 years ago, and you can get them through Carl. He's got a catalog. As a matter of fact, his catalog is in your box. Bond Halbert. Guess who Bond Halbert is? The last name should give you a hint. Bond is the guy with the ponytail back there. Bond is one of Gary's. And then there's Gary Halbert. Gary Halbert. Let's all stand around. Give Gary a round of applause. By the way, Gary has the Al Capone room, and that's no accident. We have Ken Kerr. Ken, would you stand up, please?
Ken is involved in a lot of things, but I kind of think of Ken as product development. I mean, Ken can take an idea and turn it into a reality. You did that for Disney World Epcot Center. Phil Kratzer, Phil in the back, is with, he's a partner to John Eager, which it doesn't lessen him a bit. He is involved in 900, he's involved in 900 numbers also. He is the, I guess he's the brains in the operation, right, John?
Yes.
If you're holding up one, does that mean you have, yes, go ahead. Lisa Maurice, she's with On Target Communications. Lisa is a copywriter. She has complete marketing service. Lisa will ghostwrite a book for you, won't you, Lisa? Actually, we're going to talk about this when I said find out what people want and give it to them. A lot of times what people want doesn't exist. That's why we have video producers here and authors here. Because if you can find a group of people that specifically want a product and it doesn't exist, there are people in this room that can create that product for you. So just because a product doesn't exist, don't let that slow you down. I mean, why should it? I mean, you're going to make money with it. If it costs you $1,000 to have a video produced, that's okay. Especially if you don't have to pay today. You can sell the video first. There's myself, Bill Myers. There's my wife, Karen Myers. You can give her a round of applause because she's put up with me. Ted Nicholas. Ted, would you stand up, please? Ted is a $200 million man. Ted, in the last 22 years, has sold $200 million of his own products through a direct mail classified ad and display ads. Ted's going to be our first speaker, and I'm going to show you something about Ted before he speaks. Joe Reinhart. Joe Reinhart is involved in, he's a broker of video equipment, but more recently, Joe is the editor of a newsletter called Winning Edge, which is a gambling newsletter, which is a real interesting market to get into. Dan Reynolds. Where's Dan? Crazy Dan Reynolds from Harrison, Arkansas, has his own TV show on cable TV. He can show you how to get on cable TV, how to have your own show. Interesting about Dan Reynolds is that Harrison's a small town. You've probably never heard about it, but have you ever heard about Branson? Branson's right next door to Harrison, and Dan is now involved in a lot of the activities going on in Branson. As a matter of fact, a lot of the celebrities in Branson now use Dan to do different stuff for them. Linda Sloan, where's Linda? Is Linda in this room? Linda flew in from Japan just to be here. Linda used to work for Gary Halbert, and then she wised up and left the country. And she's here to help us out today. Harold Wesley, is Harold in this room? Harold's here. Harold's an interesting person. I'm not going to say anything else about Harold. I'll let him tell you. And Tim Youngman. Is Tim in the room? Before I mention Tim, are there any employees or agents of the federal government in this room? No, don't say that. Tim used to be a president of one of the largest banks in the United States. And if you really want to know what's going on in the banking system, if you want to know what's going on in the future, ask Tim. But ask Tim why he quit. He didn't quit. I mean, he quit the bank because he saw what was going on in the future. And I think it's important. It's very significant. We're going to talk about that later on. We're going to talk about that later on about what to do with this money that you make. And there are places to invest it. There are places not to invest it. Tim's a good person. Tim's bank, his company, is one of the strongest banks in the country. They got strong because they knew mortgage markets in the country. When Karen and I were considering moving to anywhere in the world, we could ask Tim, well, what's the market like in this town? And Tim would say, I bought a lot of mortgages there. I can tell you that real estate prices are high, they're stable, or the market is falling. It's important to know somebody like that. Also in the back of the room is Sissy Hainer. Sissy just stepped out. Sissy is our office manager. If you need anything through our offices, Sissy's the one to talk to. I'd like to bring Jim up here. Jim, would you come up here, please? This is Jim Powell. I don't know if you've met Jim or not. You've probably seen Jim on our camera. Jim does a lot of camera work in our office. Jim is also known as the accidental terrorist. Jim went to Amsterdam 2 weeks ago to take care of some business for us, and Jim, of all things, Jim forgot to remove his Glock 17 fully automatic loaded pistol from his carry-on luggage. And unfortunately, they didn't discover that in Little Rock at the airline. They discovered that as he boarded as an international passenger on a, was it a TWA? What flight was it?
British
International Airways. He boarded with a fully loaded Glock, which I don't know if you know what a Glock is. It has 19 rounds in the clip, and his carry-on luggage. And underneath his arm, he had the current issue of U.S. News and Business Report that says a Pan Am Flight 103, the terrorism in the United States. And he also had 16 bottles. His carry-on luggage only had two things in it. It had his Glock fully loaded and 16 bottles of hot springs water. And the FBI, he spent 3 hours with the FBI, met a lot of nice people, and left his gun in Dallas. But he's with us. And if you need anything here in the seminar or need information about hot springs or anything going on, ask Jim. And that's why I wear this bulletproof vest around the office. We're going to go over a little bit of stuff. I know that we're not going to run late today, I promise you. You all got this box from us. This box is a product. And this is what your product should look like when you deliver them to people. You don't want to sell them shoddy stuff. You want to impress them. You don't want to overwhelm them with the weight of the box, the way the box is packaged, and the labels. And we're going to show you how to do things like this, how to personalize labels, and how to personalize folders. Now, everything in these folders, in these boxes, we're going to cover during the course of the seminar. Now, what I want you to do right now, because we're going to go ahead and start our first speaker, is to open your box and pull out the Direct Marketing magazine. You see how much fun it is to open a box and look at all the stuff inside? That's the experience you want your customers to have. When they open your box, you don't want them to be disappointed. You want them to say, wow, look at all this stuff. I didn't order this stuff. Did this come free? And you want them to have that experience. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Direct Marketing magazine. First of all, most of us who are in direct mail, we like the ads in Direct Marketing magazine. But we typically don't read the articles. And we definitely don't appreciate the editorials. Because Direct Marketing is, if you're not a Madison Avenue agency, they pretty much don't think that you're somebody to be dealt with. And unfortunately, a lot of people who get involved in direct mail, the first thing they do is go deal with a Madison Avenue agency. And just to show you how these agencies think, we had a subscriber of our newsletter call us Friday and say, look, I just left my Madison Avenue marketing agency, and I told them that you said that December is the worst month for mail order, for direct marketing of anything. And they said that I must be a fool. They said that December was always the best month for direct mail offers. Now, I don't know if you know anything about direct mail, but December is the worst month. And the reason is December is the month of Christmas. And when Christmas comes, what are you doing with all your time? You're out buying presents for your friends at the mall. You rarely spend any money on yourself. Direct mail and most direct mail approaches, you're selling something to the individual. You're not selling gifts. You're selling something that the individual himself wants. And December is the worst month to be doing that because the individuals are involved in other things. However, Madison Avenue agencies will tell you differently. Oh, by the way, after we get all this stuff out, I want you to put it back in. Did you see this book in there? Our next speaker wrote this book. Also, if you look in the Direct Marketing magazine, Ted, what page is it on? Ted, our next speaker, has a full-page ad in this magazine. There's a picture of Ted. Ted, would you stand up? Can you strike that pose? See if you can get that smile for us. There he is. This is Ted Nicholas, and Ted actually has sold over $200 million worth of products. Ted had a seminar out in L.A. at the convention center. How many blocks from the riots when the riots were going on? 5 miles from the riots. Ted also has a home in Switzerland, and I think on that day he would have rather been in Switzerland. And Ted's going to get up here and tell us some things. The first time that I met Ted, he gave me some advice that I think is probably the most important advice that I've ever gotten from anybody about life or marketing. And he says you need to get your priorities straight, and your priorities in life should be, one, your relationships with people, your family, your wife, your friends. Two, your health. And three, your business. You should always keep in that order. If you get it out of that order, you're not going to survive. And that right there has helped me a lot of times when I get involved in projects. I think about everything in those terms. So a lot of projects that you can get into that are going to affect your health and your family relationships, and those are projects you should not get involved in. And there are a lot of times when your family isn't more important, it should be more important than your business. And if you make your family more important and your health more important, you'll survive. If you work so hard in your business that you lose your family or that you lose your health, you lost. I mean, that's not the game. The game is business allows you to live the lifestyle that you choose. But if business becomes your lifestyle, where you're so nervous and so worried about tomorrow and so worried about whether this is going to work or not, it's no fun at all. Most of us in here, Karen and I and Jim and Sissy, and that's this is our whole office. If you see these three people back here and myself, that's our whole company. And we mail, this month, we'll probably mail between 50 and 100,000 pieces. And we our goal, which when we started was to deposit $1,000 a day in the bank. And more often than not, we reach that goal. And occasionally our daily deposit is $8,000 or $10,000 or $12,000. And it gets real scary when our daily deposit is as large as Walmart's. Then you attract too much attention. We're going to talk about that later on, how not to attract attention. But to us, it's all a game. I mean, Jim and I, we've known each other since we were 4 years old. And to us, we're looking at each other saying, how long can we play this game? This is so much fun. We get to go places. Jim gets to go to Amsterdam. We go all over the world. Karen and I get to go places. Sissy gets to go places. We all have a good time. Sissy wants to go someplace next. Now that Jim's been to Amsterdam, we've got to figure out where we can send Sissy. But, that's what you want it to be. You don't want it to be something that you worry about and you go crazy about and that you're nervous about because you don't know if you're going to succeed or not. It's got to be fun. If it's fun, it's going to show. It's going to show because you're going to sell products that are fun. If it's fun, it's going to show because you're not going to be tempted to do things that are going to land you in jail. If it's fun, you're going to think about it. And you're going to say, I could do that project, but, that'd be a lot of work. Let's not do that. You're going to learn to be lazy. You're going to say, there's 10,000 things I could sell out there. But if I sell the easiest thing that makes me the most money, then it's going to be fun. If I try to sell people something they don't want, it's not going to be fun. What I tell people, there are a lot of people in here who have products that aren't going to sell, and I tell them, you can eventually sell anything. It took the manufacturers of deodorant 20 years of advertising before people in America wore deodorant. Now, if you can afford to advertise your product for 20 years, you might be able to convince people to buy it. But most of us can't afford that, and we're going to talk about things like that. All right, I know we're going a little bit long already. I'm going to turn it over to Ted, and Ted's going to tell us anything he wants to, which is good enough for me. Audio.
Can you all hear me? Well, it's really nice to be here. And I join Bill Myers in extending a warm welcome to all of you to this direct marketing boot camp. For me, the concept of boot camp has a particularly significant connotation because I'm a former Marine, and the last boot camp I was to was in Paris Island. Are any former Marines in the audience? Raise your hand, a couple. Well, my recollection of that boot camp was really, it was a lot of fun for me, and it was a real growing experience, and this is a different kind of boot camp for me and for you, and I'm flying over here, I was thinking to myself, when I first started in the direct marketing way of marketing, I thought to myself, it would be fantastic if I could learn from the masters and a lot of the who's who in direct marketing that are in this room. And I think you people are very fortunate, and I think we all are fortunate that Bill and Karen Myers put on this event. And I'd like to just, and look at the way they prepared that box that they've put together. It's one of the most professionally organized seminars I've ever had the pleasure to be associated with, and I think we should give those guys a round of applause. Bill asked me to talk about what success is or what success means to me, and it's something that I've never talked about publicly, but as Bill shared with you, it's something that he and I talked about privately. So what I'm about to share with you, I've never shared anywhere in a book or in a seminar. And success means a lot of things to me. It means so many things that it's like difficult to focus on exactly where to begin. First of all, I think I may be the most qualified person you've ever known that's successful to talk about what is success, for one simple reason. I probably have failed more times and more things than anyone you've ever met. I've written more ads and more direct mail pieces that haven't worked than anyone, I think, in direct marketing. I have slaved away for 20 years to develop whatever skills I now have, and I'm a lot better now than I was 20 years ago, but still not perfect. But that's one of the things I want to share with you. If you want to be successful, I think part of the secret is to learn how to make whatever failures you're going to inevitably have, make them small enough that you can control the outcome of those failures. Because I believe in the Babe Ruth philosophy of life and of marketing, wherein most everybody knows that Babe Ruth is the home run champion. But what is less known is that he struck out more times than anybody that ever played baseball. Did you all know that? Struck out more times. And I've struck out more times than anyone that I know in direct marketing. For instance, in my book on incorporating, I've written over 100 ads for this book. This book has sold approximately 1 million copies currently. I'm working on the second million copies now. I've written 100 ads, but about 20 of them have worked. So that 80 ads, and they're about 1,200 words each, about 100,000 words of copy, and a lot of money has been invested in the book, and only 20 of them have worked. Now, one out of five successful ads, but when they work, they really work. And I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few days, both privately and in workshop formats, some of the techniques that I use to write copy, to write headlines, to develop themes for the sale of any product, basically, that I've learned from selling this one product. I've written 11 books. My company, Enterprise Publishing, has been one of the largest how-to publishers in the United States for about 20 years. How many of you have ever bought anything from Enterprise Publishing? Fantastic. Advertising is working. Now, a few of you didn't raise your hand, so I see we have a long way to go. How many of you, I also set up the largest incorporating company in the United States called the Company Corporation. How many of you, as a matter of curiosity, have set up companies through that? A few. That's maybe a lesser known fact about me. See, when I wrote my first book on incorporating, I wanted to make it easy for my readers to set up a company and to maintain it at low cost. Companies were owned by lawyers. And I was the new kid on the block, and the called registered agents, they would not deal with laymen. And I thought, that's ridiculous. So I set up a company as a reader service, and that company has become the largest incorporating company in Delaware in volume, one of the largest in the United States. And that ties in with what Bill commented earlier about. You know, if you want to get out of life and out of business what you really want, you have to make it possible for a lot of other people to get what they want. You have to find a way to produce and package and market and deliver a product that make a lot of people happy, that fills their wants and needs. And I completely agree with Bill that you just can't develop a product and then go rushing out and try to get a lot of people to buy it, because you may be lucky, you may be intuitive, and intuition is something that's very important too. To be a successful entrepreneur, sometimes we rely on our intuition to determine or to have a sense of what other people may want and need. See, I started 18 companies by the time I was 35. But this was before my writing and publishing career. My best known one was called Peterson's House of Fudge. It was a chain of 30 candy and ice cream parlors. And I was always intrigued by what makes a business work. How can a business really get off the ground with little or no capital? I started with $800 in savings, $96,000 in debts. And when I was 20 years old, I started that confectionery company. Let me give you a brief history about myself, so you'll know how, from where I got from and how I got to where I am now, and some comments about what success has taught me. I was born in Bradley Beach, New Jersey. My father was a restaurateur, entrepreneur. I went through high school. I went to college for 1 year. Susquehanna University. I kept on asking my professors, teachers, how could I learn to be an entrepreneur? I wanted to be an entrepreneur like my father. They said, you have to go out and get experience. So at the end of the first year, I dropped out of college. I went to help the family business because I was planning on starting my own business in it. There was a concern about being drafted, and that's when I joined the Marines. When I got out of the Marines, I went to work for a company called Candy Industries out of New York, and the company was owned by Marion Harper, Jr. and Sr., and they were the founders of the McCann Erickson Advertising Agency, which later became Interpublic, the largest ad agency in the world. And I was a just a junior clerk for them, but I worked really hard, and they took notice to me, and they kept me, they gave me a job in the main office. And they, I was very naive, I used to ask Mr. Harper, you know, they were making advertising history. They got the Buick account at the time, the Coca-Cola account, multi-million dollar accounts. And their executives were having martinis at 11 o'clock in the morning and so on. Man, they were celebrating. And I would ask Mr. Harper, you know, when you sell Buicks, why don't you put in the ad for the Buick, how do you know the ad is selling the Buick? Because isn't it a question of styling and the economy and a lot of other factors that don't have anything to do with your advertising? Why don't you put a coupon in the ad, and that way people could write for a brochure so that they could determine whether they're interested in the cars, and then the manufacturer would have, General Motors would have a measure as to what kind of coupons came in. He said, oh my God, we can't do that. The client then would know what the response was. See, that's the mentality of the advertising agencies, at least that agency and others that I saw, was that let's please the client. And the client is actually the easiest person to please, because I come from the school of thought that the most important person is the consumer, the end user of the product. And in direct marketing, direct mailing, things that you're going to be exposed to, that's the only person you have to please. Whatever someone else thinks, or agency, or a friend or relative, doesn't mean anything. So anyway, they sent me to Elkton, Maryland. I was assistant general manager. They had an investment in a company called Candy Industries. They had a very weak manager. They sent me there to be an assistant manager when I was 20. The manager, they fired the manager. He wasn't very competent. And I became the manager of this company. But they made a lot of promises to me that they didn't keep, bonuses and whatnot. And I had a chance at age 21, I was almost 21, I started my confectionery company, as I mentioned, with $800 in savings. $96,000 in debts. Now people ask me, how did you ever run up $96,000 in debts? Well, I'll share that with you. Basically, I went to a landlord of a building that I was interested in opening up my confectionery manufacturing and retail store in. Three people had gone bankrupt in this property. And I said to him, look, I'm a young guy. I just quit my job at Candy Industries. I want to begin a business. I have $800 in savings, but I am really ambitious. And what I would like to do is buy your property with no money down. And what I'll do is I'll paint, redecorate it all personally. And you're going to have a beautiful, much better, improved property. If I fail, you'll have your property back. So he said, my God, no one's ever approached me with that kind of an offer. He said, let me think about it over the weekend. Mr. Harry Kendall was his name. So Mr. Kendall thought about it over the weekend, and he figured, well, what does he have to lose? Sold me the property. I was $50,000 in debt. So with my equipment manufacturing equipment people, I went to them and I said, look, you've got old equipment in your warehouse. How about selling it to me? No money down. If I'm successful, I'll pay it off. If I'm not, you can take your equipment back. And they said, you must be crazy. First person that I talked with, you must be crazy. We can't do business like that. No one does business like that. I said, well, I have to do business like that because I don't have any capital. Well, I talked with three or four, and finally I got one to go along with putting the equipment in. And then I did the same thing with my raw materials. So I opened the doors, $96,000 in debt. I'll never forget it. I took in $40, about $39.80 the first day, and I thought, I'm going to go bankrupt. But I figured, well, I could always get a kind of a job that I just had, so it wouldn't be so bad. But I started thinking, what really turns people on in front of my store? And I noticed that two things seemed to turn people on. First of all, they were mostly male drivers. And I figured, what turns men on? Well, I thought, well, women turn men on, and cars turn men on. I couldn't do much about the cars because they were driving by, so I hired a local roller skating queen and put her out in front of this is really a sexist thing to do, I guess, but I put her out in front on the platform in front of the building, had her stirring a kettle of fudge, and we literally stopped traffic. I mean, we stopped traffic. The local newspaper started doing articles on the operation, and it was funny, too, because I also wanted to get an elephant. I wanted to get an elephant, put her on the elephant, and I thought that would even stop more traffic, but there were all kinds of laws. I couldn't get an elephant on the highway. But the business became very successful, and by the time I was 29, I had 30 shops, 6 company-owned stores, 24 franchises, and I get a telegram from the White House inviting me to visit with a group of, quote, important business leaders. And I thought, this is one of my friends pulling my leg. I'd never even been to the White House as a tourist. I mean, I'd never been to the White House. But I thought, suppose it's real. You know, how often do you get a telegram from the White House? And I called the White House. I don't know if you've ever called the White House. I called and asked. I said, look, I have this telegram, and it says the White House. They said, wait a minute. We'll put you through to the social secretary. I never knew the president has a social secretary. Social secretary says, oh, yes, this is authentic. You're invited with this group of leaders. Well, I had been nominated. Make a long story short, I was voted the outstanding businessman in the state of Delaware then at age 29. So I was very flattered to go to the White House. And I said, here I am, this guy starting with $800, and I'm now in the White House with a group of leaders with the president. The president's staff spent all day with us, and I thought, wow, this is fantastic. So then I figured, well, I can do no wrong. I must be so brilliant that I'll go into a lot of other businesses, and I did. And I had a lot of setbacks because I found that when you go into businesses that you're running with your left pinky, that you're not really involved with, you're going to just have a lot of failures. And I did. So by the time I was about 35, in the meantime, I was the kind of a guy that I never found, Mike. I always admired people that fell in love with a piano at age 4 and they wanted to just play the piano all their lives. They didn't care if they starved. They thought that was great. I was the kind of a person, I had to be in all these businesses. And besides that, I play a lot of sport. I play a lot of tournament tennis, for instance. And I thought, maybe I should try to be a tennis player. Maybe I should be in sports. I like constitutional law. I like a lot of things. Jack of all trades and master of none syndrome for me. But my greatest pleasure was writing letters to the editor. I would write letters to the editor in magazines and newspapers. That was my hobby. And I thought, someday I'm going to get paid for what I do for free. I'm going to figure out a way to do it. So I noticed that my lawyer's secretary, I formed 18 companies, as I mentioned, by this time. My lawyer's secretary was typing the forms for the corporations that I was forming. And I was paying the lawyer $800 to $1,200 for each one of them. And I thought to myself, I started with nothing. There must be a lot of other entrepreneurs out there that are just like me, because the best kept secret in America is entrepreneurs have no money. Zero. They start with very little money most of the time. So I wrote my book, Nights and Weekends. Took about a year and a half because I was doing it part-time, and I was also checking with the Secretary of State to make sure the book worked. I took it to 12 publishers, and I said, guess what? I've written this book. It's going to revolutionize the way people incorporate in America. They looked at me and they said, you can't write a book and sell it on a subject like that. People will, either they were not going to buy it, and their corporate lawyers advised the publishers, because the big publishers all have a legal department. And of course, you can imagine when they went with my manuscript, how that went over with the attorney on staff. Normally not very well. So I decided I was going to start my own company. So I formed a little company, Enterprise Publishing, out of the living room of my house. And I began with a $90 ad in the Wall Street Journal. In the meantime, I had the book at the printer. Like, this gentleman's a printer in the back room. I had the book at the printer. I didn't know how many copies to print. I got back $360 in orders. I was so happy. I ordered 5,000 in a stroke of great confidence. I ordered 5,000 copies. I thought, my God, I'm going to have a garage full of books. And boy, 5,000 books is a lot of books if you've ever seen them in one big. It's a lot of books. But fortunately, I started running little larger and larger ads. And by the time 6 months went by, I was running full-page ads in magazines and newspapers all across America. I was spending $50,000 a month, but people were sending me $200,000 a month. Now, by now, people reading my ads figured I must be the world's largest publisher. But I was still operating out of my house. And literally, authors, people were coming from all over the United States trying to find this publisher, because a lot of writers out there want to get their books published and can't. And they would come to my house a middle-class suburban house outside of Wilmington, Delaware. You could see them getting out of their car, and they're going, this can't be right. But my mailbox was stuffed, and it was just wonderful, you know, seeing what a business this is. Because, by the way, I started that business with $5,000 at Enterprise Publishing, $5,000 borrowed from a life insurance policy. That was the total capital in the beginning of that business. And shortly thereafter, that's when I added the company corporation as the reader service, as I mentioned before. Well, what has in the meantime, one thing led to another. Other authors started sending me their works. I've written 11 books myself. Enterprise became a very large company with 50 employees selling books all over the United States. And recently, in fact, on December 24th, I sold my Enterprise Publishing, and I sold the company corporation, and I've started a new company in Florida called Nicholas Direct, which I'm now doing seminars. I did the first one, to be completely accurate. I've only done one seminar to date in Switzerland. I attended a seminar during the LA riots, was on infomercials. And I'm doing my second U.S. seminar at the end of June in Florida, where I now live. I live now in Clearwater, Florida. If any of you have not visited there, I invite you to one of the really great places of the United States. It's just a real warm, picturesque place with lots of beautiful homes. And I'm fortunate in that I have a place right on the Gulf of Mexico that overlooks the Gulf of Mexico and overlooks the inland waterway. It's just a great place to live. So some of the lessons success has taught me. First, and also, a lot of people say, I don't want to be misinterpreted, a lot of people say money is not, doesn't buy happiness. Well, I can tell you from personal experience, poverty doesn't buy happiness either. Money is very important. And because the best thing about money is that it gives you freedom. Freedom of time, freedom to do what you want to do. And so that I consider money an important value. But it's not the most important value. What is the most important things, as I shared with Bill some time ago, our physical health, physical and psychological health, actually, personal relationships, and work that you enjoy. When they're out of balance, and they've been out of balance in my life at times, you're not a happy person. I've seen a lot of successful people that just destroy their health, destroy themselves. It's not worth. For instance, in my lifestyle, Bill said to share some of your lifestyle. My lifestyle is I spend 2 hours every day working out, either playing tennis, lifting weights, or swimming. I work in shorts, usually tennis clothes most of the time. This is the last day of the seminar that you'll see me with a tie.
Well, listen, I want to interrupt Ted here. When he talks about this, when he talks about the freedom and the lifestyle, these are points. These are key points you need to include in any direct mail offer you're selling to anybody trying to sell them a work at home or an opportunity. These are key points that get people excited, because they get you excited, don't they? Being able to have the freedom to live in a condo on the top floor. I mean, tell us about your condo overlooking the Gulf and your condo in Switzerland. I mean, these are the key points that you need to include if you ever write a direct mail offer offering something that's going to give people this lifestyle. Because this is what gets them excited. It doesn't get people excited to think they're going to be mailing 10,000 letters a month or 100,000 letters or answering 2,000 phone calls or any of that stuff. That won't get you excited. What gets you excited is the freedom to go where you want, to dress as you like, to live where you want, to come and go, to buy what you want. You know, like Ted said, money doesn't buy happiness, but if you're going to be miserable, you might as well be able to spend a little money while you're miserable, right?
Yes. Yes, well stated. And so that's essentially what I wanted to communicate about. Oh, I think it's also very important that you find something that people want and need, but also something that you relate to and enjoy. It's very hard, probably impossible, to sell things that you can't get excited about yourself. I sure cannot get myself, don't want to put myself in a position of trying to sell a product or service that I don't, with my heart and soul, believe in. Because, you know, people buy not through logic, but through their heart. And you have to find a way to touch the emotional chords within them before they respond. And you're in such a wonderful, you know, it's a tremendous business to be in, this direct marketing, because you can keep your losses to a minimum And when you get a winner, when I write an ad and that ad works, write a direct mail package and that package works, I know that I've invested $500, $3,000, $5,000, a relatively small amount of money, and the potential is millions. There isn't a business that I know of with that kind of leverage. It's fantastic. But what you've got to be very careful of, and some of the mistakes I told you about before, see, I've gone out without enough testing and spent $250,000 on a product or service and bombed. That really hurts. It makes me very sad when I do something like that. But I've done that kind of thing. However, I didn't do it when I first started because I couldn't afford to do it when I first started. I did it after I became more successful, and then everything becomes relative. But now I keep reminding myself, you know, and this direct marketing boot camp is going to be good for me, because who some people consider a veteran in direct marketing, for this reason. We all forget the basics sometimes. Basics are good to learn for the people new in direct marketing, and they're also good reminders of the real pros to be reminded of, because it's very easy to forget the basics. And when we forget them, that's when we make the biggest mistakes. So, in any event, those are essentially some of the things I wanted to share with you on a value level that go beyond the how-to. Are there any questions about anything that I've said or anything about me? By the way, when I'm here, I want to tell you that I feel what goes around comes around. I'm going to do everything I can to help each of you in every way that I can, because I find that the best people I've ever known in life and in direct marketing are the most giving. And one of the things that turns me on about my work is I've played a small role in the lives of a lot of people, and 2 million readers of my books. I get letters all the time, and it really is very gratifying that I've played some part in their success. Sometimes something that wasn't even very important to me when I said it triggered something in them that caused them. They deserve the credit. I'm not taking the credit for it. But I feel good about taking one small, just as you, as you succeed in your direct marketing plans, the success is not going to belong to me, it's going to belong to you. But if I can play a role in helping you, that makes me feel good. So I want to do everything I can when I'm here to help you, and I just want you to know that. And I'm fortunate in that the work that I do just enables me to do that every day.
Yeah, if you have questions from the seminar, we want you to speak on the mic so that everybody will hear them.
In your new company, my name is Glenn Osborne. You mentioned that you had done one seminar, but I didn't get the, what is your aim in your new company?
Very good question. My new company is called Nicholas Direct. I plan to do, pick and choose all the things. It's my dream company. It's my friends talk about my third life. It's my third life. The French have a name for it. The third life is, the best life is when you can make the best choices. What I plan to do, I'm marketing my own products. I've retained the direct marketing rights for my book on incorporating. The 20th anniversary edition just came out last week. I'll be going on a radio and TV talk show tour for it. You'll see ads running all over the country. You see my ads in airline magazines, business magazines. You'll continue to see them. Nicholas Direct will do that. I plan to continue to do seminars on an infrequent basis. Seminars are very enjoyable for me, very hard, very difficult, but very rewarding too in a lot of ways. So I'm going to try the U.S. one. See, I did the one in Switzerland. It was one of the hardest things I ever did because you're communicating with people and they're translating from German to French.
Ted, I want to interrupt you. What did you charge per person for Switzerland?
$7,500 per person, but two people can come. So it's $3,650 each. I was dealing with the top direct marketing guys in Europe. It was really an amazing, and I learned that people are alike all over the world. Anyway, getting back to your question. So Nicholas Direct will be doing the seminars, marketing this book, and taking on joint ventures, sometimes as copywriting clients. Like, for instance, I'm working with a friend now who has one of the top newsletters in the United States in the financial area, and we've enjoyed great success. He's an under-marketed product, and I'm working with him and helping him. See, frankly, when I sold my business, my phone started ringing. A lot of people that know me wanted me to get involved in their projects. And I am interested in that on a very selective basis because it's a question of time and all kinds of other things. So I really plan, I'm also writing a new book. It's going to be the most important thing that I've ever done. I don't want to talk about it too much except to say that it's going to deal with the protection of your assets. We're living in a country where the issues of personal privacy are almost over, and corporation is something all of you, if you're not in, putting my book, even if you don't do it through my book, then through my companies, don't operate a business unless it's incorporated, because you've got to protect your personal assets. It's just not worth it. But there's other ways to protect your assets beyond that, your family assets, your savings, your home, and so on. And my new book is about that, so I'm involved in the writing of that. I plan to spend about 3 or 4 months in Europe and the rest of the time in Florida. Thank you.
Ted, my name is Bill Stevens. How much of the, how long are you going to be here at the seminar? You're going to be
I'm going to be here through Thursday. I'm going to be actually at this, here in, another reason I like the idea of being invited, I've always wanted to see this part of the United States because I've gone on a great, I believe that most Americans that I meet in Europe don't see much of the United States. And it's such a diverse country, I think it's really worth seeing. And Bill was really the catalyst of getting me to see this area. So I'm going to be here through Sunday, actually. I'm going to be at the seminar all 4 days.
Terrific. Question for Bill is, how much of this seminar are we going to have time that we can actually corner Ted and sit down and talk with him?
If you look at the schedule, what we've done is that we've left plenty of time for lunches every day, and we also close each evening relatively early. You know, it doesn't get dark here in Hot Springs until about 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, but we've closed each day early, so just for that purpose. And I encourage all of you to invite Ted out to dinner or to corner Ted. I remember I told you I only spoke to Ted for probably 20 minutes at Gary Halbert's seminar, and it really changed the way that we conduct our whole business. I mean, we turn down 99% of the ideas we come up with because they're not fun and because we can't get behind them. And doing that, learning to say no was probably the most difficult thing I ever did in my life, is learning to say no, and learning when to say no and actually saying no. For women, it's easier to say no. For men, we're never taught to say no. I mean, to opportunities will knock on your door. A lot of those opportunities, you need to say no real quick and hang up. I hope that none of you here are involved in multi-level marketing, but we get offers probably 20 a week, people telling me how quick that they can make me a millionaire with multi-level marketing. And I don't care how much money they can make me. I don't want to get involved in multi-level marketing. I'm not behind it. And to me, it's just a scam. It's a pyramid scheme. And I think there are other people in our industry, people whose names and reputations, Howard Ruff is one of them, have been totally destroyed because of getting involved in something like that. Ted, I want to ask you a question. Now, I know you sold your company. And I know you have a house in Switzerland. And I know you have a house in Clearwater, Florida. And you're making all this money. How come you're still in the business?
Because I just love it. I love being in business. I love being around entrepreneurs. I love being around all of you because regardless of our differences, and everybody's a different individual, to be successful in business, there's got to be a part of you that's the greatest part of you that makes it happen. In other words, well, the way I came to that conclusion, a long time ago when I was in the Marines, I lost my paycheck in a poker game. And I thought, this is terrible. I don't know if you've ever gone a month without any money, but it is terrible. I couldn't even buy a cup of coffee. So I read every book I could find on the subject of poker, and one of my friends was writing a book on poker. And to make a long story short, we became very good poker players. And in poker, you know, deception is part of the game, bluffing, and so on, is part of the game, those of you that have played. And one evening in a poker game, a guy lost his house in a game that I was in. And the guy that lost the house pulled the gun on the guy next to him, and I was sitting next to the fellow that he pulled the gun on. And fortunately, he didn't fire the weapon. But I came to the conclusion very abruptly that in poker, you're bringing out the worst in people. In business, in order to be successful, if you don't have an honest, ethical product, no matter what kind of a... You'll meet people in business, as I have, that you wonder how they could ever get through life. Some people are not that brilliant. But in their area, they're brilliant. And they have the best foot forward when they're selling that product or service. I like being around entrepreneurs, writing for entrepreneurs, servicing entrepreneurs, because you're dealing with the best they have in this real world. In a free market society, they're the best people. Some of you may have read my articles. entitled The Undiscovered Hero. The Undiscovered Hero in America. See, one of the reasons I like all of you guys so much is all the media, well-meaning friends and even some relatives, haven't talked you out of being entrepreneurs. It's very hard to do that in this society because the heroes, the entrepreneurs that are depicted are malevolent.